All right. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about something that's been working in me, or I should say working on me, for quite some time. You know, we are a work in progress, aren't we? Amen. None of us have arrived, so we're all in good company. We're all a work in progress, and I am too. And one of the many things throughout God's Word and that's been so alive and working in me, and this is usually the way the Lord kind of works things out with me a lot. Not all the time, but most of the time, He works in me and on me, and then I work on you through the same thing that He's worked on me through. That's kind of how it goes sometimes. And of course, now, under His leading and direction, we're gonna attempt something tonight that I think is just, it's actually kind of fun. And I think that if we'd all be honest, we may not consciously know that we've asked the question, but we've wondered, how do you do this? And so tonight I want to talk to you about how to do James chapter 1 and verse 2. How to do James chapter 1, verse 2. So obviously we know where we're going. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Amen. I'll give you a second to get there. James chapter 1, verse 2. And I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, so it may read a little bit different, but not that different. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Are you there? Almost. I still hear pages. Oh, it's back. That's right. It's up here, too. If you're not there, it's here. I always forget. It's there, too. All right. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when," somebody say when. "When troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Verse 3, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." I like that. Perfect and complete, needing nothing. So we go back to verse 2. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters," notice he didn't say if troubles come, right? But he said when. Now, we're not prophesying doom and gloom, and this is not a service to, you know, prophesy troubles, but if you've learned anything in life, you've learned that troubles come. Life happens. Things happen, right? Unexpected or expected, wanted, not wanted. Sometimes there are just some things in life that you find yourself having to wade through and walk through that you didn't necessarily ask for and you didn't want, but needless to say, we're walking through, right? And it's not a lack of faith. Sometimes faith people have to make sure that we don't get so hyper-spiritual on one side that we go around saying, I'm a man or woman of faith. I have no troubles. I never have trouble. I will never have a trouble. I will never have a trouble. Well, you can say that as much as you want to say that, but the fact that we're living in an imperfect world, amen, surrounded by imperfections on every side, there may be challenges in this life. And sometimes it's almost a relief to know that, because then you don't fall into the other ditch of saying, well, what's wrong with me? I thought I'm walking by faith. I thought I was saved. I thought I was a Christian. How come this happened to me? I didn't think. Life. Thank God for the Word, right? Thank God for the Word. He always causes us to triumph. But we need to remember that it's not necessarily an if, but he said, when troubles come your way. And I love the way the New Living says this. Consider it an opportunity. We don't often look at mishaps and troubles and hard times and challenges. We don't often think of them as, what an opportunity. We don't, right? That's usually not our first thought. When something bad happens, we don't stop and go, what an opportunity. That may come after the fact. But he says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, if this verse were to be read by human standards, it would say, consider it an opportunity for great frustration, when troubles come your way. Right? Sure. Why is that? Because frustration is the natural response to trouble. Right? It's the natural response to tests, to trials, to unexpected happenings that happen and we didn't foresee it coming. And we've all had these kinds of things. Well, frustration is, notice we said it's the natural response, right? But joy is a supernatural response. Amen. Frustration is a natural response, but joy is a supernatural. And we've been learning something. It's been said several times over the course of the last several Sundays. Pastor Wayne has been ministering, and several times it's come up about how cluing us in that we are supernatural beings. We have to remember that, right? We are a three-part being. We are first what? And we have a? And we live in a? Absolutely. And so we put our highest precedence, our greatest priority is on the fact that we are spirit beings. And because we are spirit beings, I like to say this, we're able to conduct life in two realms. I mean, think about that. Yeah, you're a superhero, little Si. We're superhumans. When you think about it, we are able to conduct life in two realms. Not only are we just limited and bound to this life, but we can conduct business, we can conduct life, we can make transactions in the spirit. Amen. We can pull what we need out of the spirit by the hand of faith, and we can then see it manifested in this realm. Think about how amazing you are and who God created you to be. Now that you've come on over into the kingdom of light, you've woken up in a sense to who you really are, a spirit being. And now our responses to things that happen to us in this life are not only limited to the natural. See, we're set apart. We're not like those without a covenant, those without Christ. We're not like the rest of the world. We're not left to, when something bad happens, all we do is panic. When something unexpected happens, we get frustrated and cuss and do all these natural responses. That's not our only options anymore. We don't have to pick from that barrel anymore of responses. Because we can operate in two realms. We can operate higher. And this is a higher response. This is a supernatural response. What is being written right here is completely supernatural and of the spirit. Because it goes absolutely against what the natural or the flesh or our carnal nature wants to do when troubles arise. Frustration to the carnal man it's the natural, it's just the given response. And we've all been there, haven't we? Sure we have, absolutely, maybe even lately. We've all dealt with frustration. Absolutely, but we don't have to live there. Amen. We're going to talk about that. Frustration doesn't have to be our response to life's troubles anymore, but joy can be. Amen. And see, even this that we're talking about, it's simple as it sounds, and it is simple, but don't make the mistake of forgetting it's completely supernatural. Because the world says, well, of course. I mean, let it out. Say how you feel. And granted, there are times for that. But a higher response, he said, consider it an opportunity when troubles come. An opportunity to just let her rip and tell everyone off. No, an opportunity for great joy. See, that doesn't compute to the human, natural, carnal mind. The carnal mind says, oh, no, I'll tell you exactly how I feel. Blankety blank, beep, 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 you know. Of course, that's none of us. We left that life a long time ago, right? Amen? That wasn't very encouraging, amen? Okay. But we are, again, I'm going to say it again, we are spirit beings. We are able to conduct life in two realms, the natural and the supernatural. And because we know that we are first a spirit being, we are no longer bound to the responses, the choices, the options of this world when trials, tests, and troubles come. Aren't you glad? Amen. I'm glad. Now, as we said, we have all been frustrated. If you tell me that you've never been frustrated, I'm going to tell you that you're lying. And I'm just really going to have a hard time believing you. I'd like to, but I'm really going to struggle at it. Because everybody has been frustrated. Everybody's walked through moments, I dare say seasons, perhaps. Days. We've all walked through times where really, okay, we wish that our hindsight, we look back and go, oh, I wish I had come through that a bit quicker. I wish I hadn't let that frustration drag me down for days. And, you know, sometimes a moment turns into a season. We've all been there. Has anybody ever dealt with frustration? Thank you. Okay, me too. Hands, arms, legs, everything up. We have all been frustrated. And even Christians, we have been frustrated, but the problem is when we stay frustrated. Absolutely. Because to stay frustrated, to stay in that realm of frustration, to constantly visit that realm when anything happens on a daily basis, when someone cuts you off in traffic, when you don't make the green light in time and it turns red and you really needed to make it through and you had to slam on your brakes and now you're frustrated, or something unexpected happens. Anybody ever have things like that happen? These are little opportunities they're opportunities that we normally would say these are opportunities to just, oh, that could have really made me frustrated. But James says they're opportunity for great joy. Great joy. Amen. But the devil wants us to continually visit and if possible, live in the realm of frustration. And here's why. And you need to catch this tonight. Whether you take notes or not, listen, because this will really make a difference in your life if you'll heed and hear and take real note of this in yourself. Frustration, or being frustrated, as we say, comes from the word frustrate. And doing a little research, this is so interesting. Frustrate means, now remember I said this is something that's been working on me for quite some time and in me for quite some time, because I began to realize Holy Spirit in you will talk to you about things in your life if you listen. And I began to realize there were just little things that would happen and I'd find myself getting frustrated. And it started to bother me. That I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost because he shines a light and tells us. And I started to realize, wait a minute, I shouldn't be frustrated about this. This is not worth the energy to get. And if I am frustrated, I need to snap out of it quicker. And so I just started noticing little things like that. And so quite some time ago, this began to work in me. And so let me tell you what this word frustrate means. When we are frustrated, or we say, this is so frustrating. The word frustrate means to defeat, to disappoint. The word frustrate means to bring to nothing. The word frustrate means to nullify, to defeat, to disappoint, to bring to nothing, to nullify. The word frustrate means to render of no effect. The word frustrate means vain, ineffectual, useless, and unprofitable. Read it again. Frustrate means to defeat, to disappoint, to bring to nothing, to nullify, to render of no effect. It means vain, ineffectual, useless, and unprofitable. Can't you see why the devil would love for you to live in frustration? Can't you see why that there are so many opportunities that come up in life to challenge your peace? Because the enemy wants you to let go. He wants you to surrender your peace, to let go of your joy, and to live in frustration. Because if we can be frustrated, if we can be continually frustrated, then we are defeated, we are disappointed, brought to nothing, rendered of no effect, vain, ineffectual, useless, and unprofitable. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend my time unprofitable. I don't want to spend any amount of time being ineffective. Time is short as it is. And then I look back and I think, how much of the time am I spending frustrated by what someone else may say or do, or by what didn't come through when I thought it should, or this unexpected thing that happened and it's trouble to me and I don't like it, but this is when we have to grab a hold of ourselves and remember, I'm a spirit being. I'm not just left to the resources of this world. I don't just have to immediately go from 0 to 10 on the frustration scale when something happens. I conduct life in two realms. I can then pull from the realm of the spirit the response needed. And James said, when trouble comes, joy is the response that we need. Amen. Amen. See, so if we allow ourselves to be continually frustrated by situations, by circumstances, by people, by things, whatever it is, then basically we're allowing ourselves to continually be defeated and disappointed, ineffective, useless, and unprofitable. And your life was made for more than that. You're not just here in this life just to bounce from trouble to trouble, circumstance to circumstance, being disappointed. Look, life is going to happen, and people are going to do what people are going to do, and people are going to say what people are going to say. But all the while, you and I still have the ability to maintain our joy. And when we let it slip, we can get it right back. If we slip on into frustration, and you just might because we're human, but that's when we realize, oh, I'm superhuman. I can just tap on into my supernatural side and let the natural go, because we already know it's unprofitable. What's it going to profit me to be frustrated about what happened for 6 months? Is it going to change anything? No. But all it will do is defeat and disappoint me. Amen. So how can we do this? Okay. How do we do James chapter 1, verse 2? I mean, really, we can teach about it, we can preach about it, but how do we do it in our everyday life? How do we put this to work? Well, just waiting to see if anybody had any answers. Well, I know. At least I know one thing. There's many things we can do, but this is something the Lord's been talking to me about. We can resist frustration, and you can use it as an opportunity for joy. And one of the things that makes being joyful in trouble a whole lot easier, are you ready? It's gratitude. Gratitude. Yeah. This has been working so big in me for quite some time. Gratitude. Amen. Gratitude, having a grateful heart, having a thankful heart. Amen. Gratitude will make a joyful response come a lot easier when trouble presents itself, especially when it's the kind of trouble that you didn't see coming. That sometimes you get hints of things and you think, okay, well, I kind of saw that coming. But there are some things that happen, then we think, where'd that come from? I didn't see that coming in life. I didn't see that. I didn't know that was going to happen. I thought, we can still choose joy. We can still maintain our peace. Amen? See, if you can have a thankful heart, an attitude of gratitude, an eye to see the good around you, And you know, you have to look sometimes on purpose. It's not that it's not there, but sometimes we're so clouded by feelings. That feeling of, I feel so frustrated, I'm trying not to walk in frustration. That's when you have to choose on purpose to look around you and see that there is so much good. To look around you and see that there are still good people in this world. There are still kind hearts. There are still decent people. There are still good Christians. There are still good things in this life. There are still good companies. There are still good employers. There are still good. Amen. You have to have an eye to see the good around you. And this is a big one. You have to have the humility to realize that someone somewhere else always has it worse off than you. Now, that may not sound very spiritual and, you know, but it's true. It takes humility to realize that no matter, even when you are feeling at your worst and you are in the heat, in the thick of the trouble, to stop and be humble enough to realize, you know what? At this moment, there's somebody going through something else far worse than what I am. There's somebody at this moment. See, I'm going to make it. I'm going to come out on the other side through this somehow. But there's somebody else who might be fighting for their life. And they've got minutes. Sometimes we just have to humble ourselves in the midst of the feelings, in the midst of the temptation to be frustrated, and realize that as bad as we think we've got it at that moment, as wronged as we feel, as upset, as hurt, whatever it is, there's always somebody who's got it worse. And that takes humility, because pride doesn't want to acknowledge that. Pride wants to say, nobody knows what I'm going through. Don't even try to say, don't even act like you know how I feel. Because I'm the only one who's ever been this hurt. Nope. Somebody's been hurt worse. Yeah. Absolutely. Having a thankful heart. Oh, it's huge. It makes all the difference. Having a thankful heart can bring, just that alone could bring you out of the most desperate of times. Amen. Just having an on-purpose attitude of gratitude. On purpose. Being quick to say thank you. Taking nothing for granted. Amen. If somebody says, oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead in front of me in line. And so, say thank you. Have an attitude of gratitude. That was a blessing. That made your life that much easier today. And see, when you have an attitude of gratitude, you then begin to show that to others. And you know what? It's amazing, because it seems to be so rare nowadays that sometimes I'm shocked by the littlest things that I may do, just kind human decencies, I think, right? You know, if someone's struggling with something, I don't have to know them. You just help them pick something up and get it on the counter, or little things. And I'm just, sometimes I'm taken back by how people will say, thank you. And they just look at you like, wow, you know, and that's so sad to me. Because it's not common enough, right? Because we live in such a self-absorbed world, and everybody is so focused on what makes my life easier and what I want and get out of my way. It's, you know, but when we open our eyes up to see around us, and let's talk about this. We said seeing the good on purpose. Okay, it doesn't mean that you have to ignore the facts. The facts are the trouble happened, the incident happened, the words were said, or whatever it is. Okay, that's the fact, absolutely. But an eye and a heart of thankfulness can look around and you can begin to see, oh, okay, but You know, had it not been for the Lord, it could have been that much worse. We get so focused sometimes on, I can't believe this happened. And yet, we should be able to look at some point to say, wow, this happened, but without God, it could have been so much worse. Absolutely. Absolutely. We get so focused sometimes on how we're treated or mistreated. But you know what? There's somebody in this world that the treatment they've received, it's so dark and it's so hellish, it doesn't even compare. And they wouldn't even call what you've been through mistreatment. They just say it's life. So what? Because what they went through, it literally crippled them somehow. See, we need to look around. Look around us. Choose to see the good. Choose to see, had it not been for God, it could have been. It doesn't sound very faithy, but it's true. Sometimes we need to just wake ourselves up and look back and go, you know, I spent all this time mourning and angry and resentful about all this that happened, but now I can look back and see, had it not been for the Lord, it could have killed me. Okay, maybe I lost this particular thing, but I didn't lose a person. Or whatever it may be. Is this registering with anybody? This is how we do. How do we do James chapter 1 verse 2? How do you look at trouble and say, opportunity for joy? Gratitude. Maintaining. Letting your heart overflow with just pure gratitude. Being so grateful. Taking nothing for granted. Not putting off, not holding your gratitude on reserve for when you think, you know, you hit it big and the big money comes in or the big house or this thing. Or I'll just be shouting for joy then. Shout for joy now. Yes, because the car you have brought you to where you need it to be. Lord, I'm so thankful for that. Amen. If we would really, through eyes and hearts of thankfulness and gratitude, take an account and take a stock of our lives, we'd realize that we are so much more wealthy than what we thought. And we are so better off than what we thought. And we have so much more that we're not grateful for that we need to start being grateful for. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at a few scriptures and get some instruction. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Is this helping anybody? I hope so. It's designed to help. God's word helps us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 through 18. He starts off, always be joyful. Always, we don't need to search the Greek and Hebrew. Always means always, right? At all times, in every circumstance. I know it's definitely something that we have to really work on with our faith, but it's doable. Why? Because we're supernatural beings. Amen. Remind yourself, oh, that's right. This is not impossible. If I was just a mere mortal, if I was just merely natural, then he would be unjust to write and tell me always be joyful. That wouldn't be fair if I couldn't do it, but I can do it. That's why he said it. Everything God says to me, I can do. He's just, he's fair, he's good all the time. And if he said, Robin, always be joyful, then guess what? I have the ability to be joyful. I may not do it all the time, but I have the ability to. And I grow in it. And you grow in it. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Notice he didn't say be thankful for the circumstance. Because there are just some things that happen in life. There are some circumstances that we walk through that we're not thankful for. But I can be thankful in it. I may not be thankful for it. Because to be thankful for it would almost be saying that I'm attributing it to God. No. God, no, only good. Only that which is good and perfect. That's the stuff, right, that comes down from the Father of lies. Not the bad. But yet we can maintain a grateful heart in all circumstances. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will. I like that. You want to know how to walk in the will of God? You want to know that you're in the will of God? Be thankful. Be thankful. It's that easy. You can know that you're walking in God's will when you have a thankful heart. Because he said, in all circumstances, be thankful. Why? Because it's God's will. Yeah. He says, it's God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Again, that makes all the difference. We're in him now. We're walking through this world clothed in him. So now I have all supernatural ability, just like he does. Amen. How about you say this? Say, I have all supernatural ability. I can live in this natural world while walking in the supernatural. Amen. We have to remind ourselves of that, because if you don't, the natural will just try to consume you. We can be thankful. All right, go to Philippians chapter 4. This is another good one. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 4 through 7. Always be full of joy in the Lord. Notice he didn't say in the circumstance, because there are just some circumstances in life that are really not joyful. But in the circumstance, we can be full of joy because our joy is in the Lord. Amen. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. See, that to me goes back to thankfulness. Goes back to gratitude, about being gracious, being kind. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Did you see that? Thankful, thank him. Tell God what you need. In the midst of need, don't forget to thank him. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have needs. No, but right in the midst of all that you need, make sure you thank him for what? For all that he's done. Having an eye to see what God's already done. Having an eye to see how far God's already brought you. Having an eye to see that if it had not been for the Lord, you wouldn't be where you are now. So as much as you don't like where you are now, where would you be had it not been for him? And I appreciate the fact that he doesn't just say, thank him for all he's going to do. We know that faith thanks him in advance. Faith says, thank you, Lord, I have it now. I thank you that it's already done. I thank you that you're already, you've already done it. Absolutely. But we can't get so far over in that that we forget to thank him for what he's already done. Amen. See, when you're thanking him for what he's already done, it's so much easier to maintain joy in the trouble, joy in the circumstance, joy while you're waiting for that next thing, that next manifestation, that next harvest. You can have peace in the waiting when you're thankful because you see all that he's already done. And when you look around with eyes that see all he's already done, it builds your faith. It builds your faith. And you know, oh, that's right, God, I remember when I was waiting on that to come through. And there were moments when I was waiting on that manifestation to come through. And there were moments where my head tried to doubt and tell me it wouldn't happen, but you came through. You'll do it again. It's so much easier to wait in faith for manifestation when when you have gratitude, when you have a thankful heart. Amen. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then, after we do that, notice that. Then, what does then mean? after you've told God what you need and after you've thanked him for what he's already done, then you will experience God's peace. You see that connection? You want to have peace? Thank him. Thank him for what he's already done. You want to know how to have peace in the midst of crisis, in the midst of unexpected trouble and circumstance, in the midst of lack, in the midst of a wounded heart or hurt feelings or whatever it may be? Thank him. Thank him. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. There's that supernatural peace, that peace that passes all understanding, or we can say it like this, that peace that overrides the natural. Why? Because it's supernatural. Remember, we're supernatural beings. We can conduct business life in two realms. While in the natural realm, it can look like there's no good reason to be at peace. And that's why people get stumped and can't figure out, why are you smiling? This just happened to you. Oh, excuse me, you don't see it, but I'm walking in two realms. So you only see my earth suit, but what you don't know is I'm communicating with the Father, and he's already told me it's going to be okay. And so I'm just acting that out here. Hallelujah. His peace exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. We can be assured that his peace, in the midst of trouble, we can have his peace. It'll guard our hearts and our minds, not as we try to figure the circumstance out on our own, not as we try to make it work on our own, not as we try to, no, as we just continue to live in Christ Jesus. Okay, it happened, but I'm going to continue to walk. I'm walking in faith. I'll walk through this. I'm going to continue to live in Christ Jesus. Because that's when we can be assured that his peace is going to guard my heart and guard my mind. And if you haven't realized it yet, his peace is priceless. There is no dollar amount you can put on peace. You could not put a monetary value on the peace of God. It is absolutely immeasurable. It's priceless. More than anything on this planet. The news was saying they found this blue 29-carat diamond or something in Africa, this most rare or wherever it was, and that's amazing. But give me the peace of God. There's no price. It's invaluable. It's eternal. It's beyond this realm. Praise God, and it's available. We can walk in it. We have a right to it. Amen. Glory to God. Go to Colossians. Last scripture. Let's look at this. Colossians chapter 3. And we've been here when Pastor Wayne was leading us through the series 1 on Sunday mornings. I know we've read these verses even recently. Colossians 3, and let's start at verse 12, and let's go all the way down to verse 17. We've got a few minutes left tonight. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You know, a man or a woman that can clothe themselves with these attributes or these characteristics of the Spirit of God, we can get through life's troubles a lot quicker. Oh, absolutely. Whatever may come, you can bounce back a lot quicker when you're tender-hearted, when you keep your kindness, When you walk in humility, you walk in gentleness and patience. Amen. Verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. That's huge, isn't it? Offense will forever be a subject that we will always touch on and teach on because we will always have other people in this world besides you. And other people have you. And so because we are humans, we will always from time to time have to remind ourselves of this. But I love the way he says, forgive anyone. Anyone. So you get in trouble when you start categorizing. Well, you know, they should have known better. They shouldn't have. I'm in this trouble because, but they're Christians. They shouldn't have. Just forgive anyone. Just level the playing field. Forgive anyone. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, how do you do that? Well, I can do that a lot easier when I can remember the Lord forgave me. Remember the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive others. Above all, now that's putting, that says something right there. Above all, right? That's telling us this is really important. What's about to be said next is really important. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. You see that? Always, there's that word again, and always be thankful. Imagine how much better life would be for us and those around us if we would make a conscious decision every day to put our love clothes on, to clothe ourselves in love. Amen. When you bump up against that really prickly, pokey, awful personality, just let it bounce off your love coat. Just don't take it personally. Clothe yourself in love. It protects you. Amen. Verse 16, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. I love that. We're still being filled tonight by the message of Christ, aren't we? Amen. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Amen. Notice that. See, I could stop. We could stop and break down every one of these and just make a sermon out of all of it. But we don't have time for that. But notice that when we talk to one another and we counsel, we want to make sure we're giving them the wisdom that God gives. Amen. Not just opinion, not just feelings, not just, well, you know, in my past I used to, well, you know, I heard it said once. That's all fine and good, but we want to make sure that we're giving each other the wisdom that God gives. Amen. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Amen. With thankful hearts. Thankfulness must be a big deal to God. Absolutely it is. Because when we're thankful, we're reflecting him. Amen. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. There it is again. Giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. I love something. I read John Hagee said this. He said, spirit-filled people are thankful people. You know, being thankful is quite spiritual. It really is. You know, a lot of times we think when we talk about the spirit realm and spiritual, and not to take anything away from it, but we like to make it so ethereal and spooky and way out there, and yet just being thankful is being spiritual. You want to be spiritual? Have gratitude. Be thankful. Be quick to say thank you. Amen. You will be able to maintain joy in the midst of trouble, in the midst of any circumstance, far quicker, far easier, when you have an attitude of gratitude and a thankful heart. Amen. With an eye to see on purpose, not just looking ahead, waiting for what's going to be done, but continually thanking Him for what He's already done. It'll keep us from the trap of frustration. Remember what we said, to be frustrated is to live defeated, right? It's to live disappointed. There are people who live in frustration, and every day they live disappointed. They live feeling defeated. They live feeling their lives are ineffectual, useless, and unprofitable. But that does not have to be said of us. Amen? That does not have to be said of us. Amen. So we can do James chapter 1, verse 2. We can do this. And there are, of course, it's not just gratitude. There are so many. It's all woven together. You can do this greater by walking in love. You can do this greater by exercising your faith. But yet it's gratitude that the Holy Spirit just kind of really put a spotlight on. And it's something that I believe that if we would choose to walk in a greater sense of gratefulness and thankfulness, life would be so much better. We'd love one another better. We'd appreciate one another more. We'd appreciate this house, this that we have, these things that we have. We'd be so much more grateful. And it would really squish that need to always consume more and have to have more. It's not that there won't be more. There is more. He's the God of more. It's a given. We know that. But what good is what we have if we can't enjoy it? And you won't enjoy it unless you're grateful for it. And so we're grateful people. Amen. And by being grateful people, we're spirit-filled people. Amen. Well, did you get anything? All right. Well, Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for seeing to it that every word was written just for us. And Father, we take heed tonight. We can do this that was said in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 2. We can now look at adversity, look at challenges, troubles, trials, and tests. Lord, there are opportunities for great joy. We are no longer left to only resort to frustration. But Father, we can tap in to that spirit part of us. And Father, we can put greater precedence on who we are in you, and therefore we can walk out, Lord, with joy, walk through these things with great joy. Thank you for that. And Father, I declare over this house and over our church family that we are a grateful people. We are a thankful people. We are a people that, Lord, we're quick to be grateful and to never take anything for granted, to never take any member, any one of us for granted. Lord, we're quick to look around and see good all around us. We see the good quicker than we see the bad. Lord, we're quick to be the solution and not the problem. We're quick to give you thanks for all you've already done. And by doing so, Father, we can be spiritual, really, truly spiritual. And we thank you for this tonight. We love you, Lord.